Well, a mother was preparing pancakes for her son, Kevin, age 5, and Ryan, age 3, and the boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. Their mother saw the opportunity for a moral lesson. If Jesus were sitting here, he would say, "Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait." So Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, "Ryan, you be Jesus." Well, we're all supposed to be Jesus. That's why we're on earth. We're all to become Christ-like. So we're all called to be another Jesus. We bear the name of Christian. If we're a Christian, we have to follow Christ so people hopefully see Jesus in each one of us. When they see you, they see Jesus. That's the idea of being a Christian. Well, how do we become more and more like Jesus? Well, St. Pius X once said that the safest, surest, quickest way to become like Jesus is to receive him often in Holy Communion. Today is the feast day of the body and blood of Christ, Corpus Christi. And that is the best way to become more like Jesus, to receive him worthily and well with great love and respect and devotion as often as we can. You've heard the expression, we become what we eat, right? If you eat good, healthy food, you become healthier. If you eat junk food, you go in that wrong direction. So what happens when we receive Jesus? We become more like Jesus. And not only does that incorporate into our own bodies, but we become more like Christ. We're supposed to be the image and likeness of Christ in the world today. So the more often we receive Jesus, the more we become like Jesus. Sometimes people doubt the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. There's a true story of a little second grader out in St. Louis, and he was about to make his first communion. And he said to this pastor, I'm not going to make my first communion because I do not believe that Jesus is present in Holy Communion. And the pastor said, why? And the boy said, because my dad is a scientist. And when I grow up, I'm going to become a scientist as well. And he and I only believe things we can see. Okay? So the priest said, well, what if we took some bread and wine and went down to your dad's laboratory and exposed it to high doses of radiation? You know, would you then eat that bread and drink that wine after it had been exposed to high doses of radiation? And the kid says, no way, because it would be radioactive material under the appearances of bread and wine. And the priest says, well, I thought you only believed in things you could see. And then it dawned on him, and then the priest said, if we can do that in our laboratory, why can't God do that on the altar? At the words of the priest, when he says those words, and this priest has been ordained by a bishop, who's been ordained by a previous bishop, all the way back to the apostles who were ordained by Christ, when that priest says, this is my body, this is the cup of my blood, a transformation takes place, and the bread and wine becomes Jesus. It still looks like bread, still tastes like bread, looks like wine, tastes like wine, but just like that radioactive bread and wine, it would still look exactly the same, but it would be changed. We call this transubstantiation. That's a great word, a great Catholic word. If you play Scrabble, you get a lot of points for that word on Scrabble, right? Transubstantiation. That means that at the words of the consecration, the bread and wine no longer exist. Only the appearances exist, but the substance has been changed, has been transformed into the living, resurrected, glorified body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. The host becomes Jesus, living and true. The wine has now become Jesus, living and true. Which, by the way, means if you only receive the host and not from the chalice, you're not getting gypped, okay? Because you're receiving the same full Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. He's just as much present under the sacred host, body, blood, soul, and divinity, as he would be receiving from the chalice. So we should be reminded on this great feast day of what it means to truly believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Remember, Jesus is God. And as the Son of God, he can neither deceive nor be deceived. What did Jesus say at the Last Supper when he took bread? He said, "This is my body, this is the cup of my blood." He didn't say, "This symbolizes my body, this reminds you of my body, this represents my body." Jesus could have said any of those things, but he didn't. He said, "This is my body, this is the cup of my blood." Jesus cannot lie. We as Catholics take Jesus at his word. We believe that Jesus is truly the Son of God. And if he said it's his body and blood, we believe it. He didn't say it's a symbol. He didn't say it's a reminder. He said it was. And he cannot lie. He cannot deceive nor be deceived. And Jesus, in Scripture, whenever Jesus spoke, nature listened. When I grew up, we had a commercial on TV. When E.F. Hutton spoke, right, people listened. You'd be at a big cocktail party and somebody mentions his name, everybody stops to listen. When Jesus spoke, nature listened. When he told the storm to be calm, the storm calmed. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, it began to wither. When he wanted water made into wine, he said a prayer and it immediately became wine. He could feed the 5,000. So Jesus had power over nature. When Jesus saw a crippled man and said, "Stand," immediately the man could stand. Or a deaf person could hear, a blind person could see, a leper would be cleansed immediately. See, at Jesus' word, what he said became a reality. So when he says, "This is my body, this is a cup of my blood," it becomes the reality, which we call the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And in Scripture, Jesus had proven that he could have power over bread and wine because he multiplied the loaves and fish. He changed water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana. He could walk on the water, showing he had power over his body. He rose from the dead. See, Jesus at the Last Supper rolled all those miracles into one. And the bread and wine became Jesus. So we're so blessed as Catholics to have the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. So we should always respect and revere and cherish this incredible gift. As Scott Hahn, former Protestant minister, said, and he's one of the 1,000 Protestant ministers that have become Roman Catholic in the last 20 years, he says, as 20 years as a Protestant minister, he loved Jesus. He loved the Bible. But it was like having a menu without the banquet. But now that he's Catholic, he still has the menu, but now he has the banquet, the Holy Eucharist, that he receives each and every day. So the Eucharist, we can receive Jesus every Sunday in the state of grace. We can receive even daily communion if we so like to receive our daily bread each day for the food for our journey to eternal life. But we can also do what's called Eucharistic adoration, where we can go to the chapel with Jesus exposed in the Blessed Sacrament and make a holy hour or spend a half an hour and adore and worship Jesus in Holy Communion present in the Blessed Sacrament during Eucharistic adoration. And the bishops of our country have asked us that starting on June 21st and going until the 4th of July to have 2 weeks, what the bishops have called a fortnight of freedom, 2 weeks where we have extra prayer and penance and sacrifice for our country, especially to protect our religious freedom, which is so much under attack in modern society, especially with the Health and Human Services mandate and the other attacks against our conscience and against the respect for human freedom and religious freedom, which we should all be able to possess here in our world and in our country. So the bishops have said, let's spend more time in Eucharistic adoration. We'll be having extra adoration hours during that period. So on the way out today, stop by the table and just sign up at least for 1 hour. Spend 1 hour in prayer before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And just as you can't go outside and the bright sun and those rays of light affect you, so when you spend time before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, his grace affects you. You get a spiritual suntan. It's spelled S-O-N, right? Okay? Without any harmful radiation, without any harmful, you don't need any sunscreen when you come before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. All the rays of Jesus' light are good. And as people spend more and more time in adoration, their souls become more beautiful and more pleasing to Almighty God. And just like lying on the beach, it'll affect your skin. Being in the Blessed Sacrament chapel, it will affect your soul. And you'll become more beautiful in the eyes of God. So on the way out today, please stop by and sign up for an hour. There'll be many other things you can do over those 2 weeks of the Fortnight of Freedom and praying and fasting and sacrificing for our country, that we always respect the sanctity of all human life in the moment of conception until natural death, the sanctity of the unborn, the elderly, the handicapped, as well as to protect the family and marriage as God has designed it. So there are, again, so many things to pray for, so please join the whole parish and the whole United States in praying for our country. One last little story. In the year 1241, the Saracens were attacking Italy. They were coming up and pillaging and burning cities throughout Italy. They came to a little town called Assisi, where St. Francis had lived, 20, 30 years before. But there was still a woman alive named St. Clare, and she was the mother prioress of the Poor Clares. And as the Saracens approached with swords and torches to burn the town of Assisi, St. Clare took the Blessed Sacrament in the monstrance and went over to the window overlooking the valley from where the Saracens were approaching, and she held up Jesus in front of them. As they got closer and closer, they suddenly, we don't know what they saw, but they were filled with fear, and they rushed and turned to another direction and never burned or pillaged the town of Assisi. So the power of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, it was a great blessing to the town of Assisi, and Eucharistic adoration will be a great blessing for us as Catholics here in America that are trying to uphold and defend our religious freedom.